Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, you got to ramp it back in. You can't just go back. You got to do penance. You got to do purgatory. You know, you got to climb steps on your knees and count beads and all kind of crazy stuff. There's nothing in the Bible about that. You repent, boom, you're back with him.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Backsliders and Strays. Part of this job is you spend a lot of time with people, some who are the backsliders, some who are the strays, but a lot of people that I talk to are grieving and processing a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad, a sister, a brother who's just gone AWOL. Just not that they're not Christians, it's just they've gone off the reservation, and it's heartbreaking because they just have to pray and wait and be patient and love on them and pray that nothing catastrophic happens to them while they're out there. So let me give you a little definition here on what backsliding is. It's turning away from God after having once followed him, falling back into sin or rebellion. So you became a Christian, you're walking, and then premeditatively you go, I'm out. It comes from a Hebrew word that just means simply to turn back, a back turning, an apostasy. This particular word is used. Jeremiah talks about this. Hosea talks about this. Proverbs, we'll read some of these verses. And some of the characteristics of backsliding are often deliberate or willful, involves a relapse into known sin. A lot of times people go back to what they were coming from. Usually spoken of God's people, those who once knew and followed him, includes rebellion, stubbornness, and choosing self over God. And Israel is a great example of this. Now, what's the difference in backsliding and straying? Straying is wandering away from the truth or direction, sometimes unknowingly or gradually. So you're not like, oh, just hell-bent, premeditative, I'm out of here. You just start drifting. It comes from a Greek word that means to go astray, wander, be led into error. And that's English Bible often uses the word wander or go astray. Isaiah, James, Matthew, I'll read you some of these. Characteristics of straying, often unintentional or gradual, driven by deception, neglect, or distraction, can involve doctrinal, moral, or relational wandering, still serious, but often implies a need for rescue, not just rebuke. An example of this could be a believer drifting from regular prayer or the Word of God. It could be a young Christian influenced by false teaching, and they hear something, get sucked in, and boom, they're off. So turn to Psalm 51:12. We're going to try to go left to right here and read some of these verses. Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And this is David. He had sinned, finally confronted with this, and uphold me by your generous spirit. So it's possible once you've, and in his case, it's not straying, it's backsliding. I mean, he went completely bananas. And here he comes back and says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I've always loved that it doesn't say, restore to me the joy of my salvation. It is not my salvation. It is his salvation. He's the one that saved me. So he's coming to God saying, I need to be restored. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Go to Psalm 86:5. And these are, if you're in a bad spot and you're deciding to come back and get back on the tracks, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. So you say, well, I've backslidden, I've strayed, I'm out here. There may be somebody watching or listening, and you're at the place in the process. You could be in the room, but if you're not connected to a church, and maybe you were, somehow the Holy Spirit's drawing you, you're listening, you're watching, and you're processing where you are, thinking, have I gone too far outside to come back to God? You have not gone too far. If you're not dead, there's hope. As it turns out, he can raise the dead, so there might still be hope. Even if you died, he could raise the dead. But if you're not dead, there's a good chance. If you were a believer, it is his kindness, it is his gentleness, the scripture says, that leads us to repentance, to change our mind. So what does he do? He says, it's implied in the scripture, but it usually starts with, dude, what are we doing? This never worked before. What are you doing back here? But the Lord is good, ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon. So my suggestion is, don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, you got to ramp it back in. You can't just go back. You got to do penance. You got to do purgatory. You know, you got to climb steps on your knees and count beads and all kind of crazy stuff. There's nothing in the Bible about that. You repent, boom, you're back with him. Isaiah 53:6, and this talking about Jesus who would come. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Only one man was born who never sinned, died on a cross, buried, raised from the dead. The rest of us have all done this, gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. And all of that sin got laid on Jesus, and that's the point of the gospel. Jeremiah 2:19. It's very fascinating how this is put in Jeremiah 2:19. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Your own wickedness will correct you. Rebecca and I were with a couple recently, went out to some kind of place out in the woods. Well, just so removed, there was no water and electricity. And they had this little deck. Rebecca saw this flower off the deck that she said, oh, I'd love to grab that. And Lay said, no, I got tennis shoes on. The lady reached down to get it, and a rattlesnake was like 3 feet away in the grass. And boy, everybody moved, right? Everybody jumped. Killed the rattlesnake. I bit its head off. You have to be fast, but you either can or you can't. That's just how it is. You either can or you can't. So none of us went back down there where the snake was. Right? You get yourself in a situation, you say, well, how does my wickedness correct you? You would think that if your wickedness, you realize it's wickedness, and you go, this is a disaster. I got to get out of here. I don't need to come back here. But the fools in us go, oh, no, that was cool. I'm going to go back. I'm going to keep running my finger through the flame. See if it works out next time. Your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Now, this is a thing. We get brazen. We start thinking, oh, no, I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm back. And we start moving, clipping, doing our bada bing, bada boom. We're Christians, but we don't need God anymore. We need him. We're going to heaven anyway. And there's all this grace, so I can do what I want to do. And all of a sudden, it just rolls you up. And the sin catches up with you. And then it's not so fun anymore. But now you've got to defend your position, which means you can't change your mind. You have to say that what you've been saying is right, and God is wrong. That is not repentance. Repentance is saying what God says is right, what I've been saying is wrong. I changed my mind. I agree with him. Let's move forward. Jeremiah 3:6. The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? So he identifies them as backsliding Israel. She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Then I saw that for all of the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees, and yet for all of her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord, for I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. But what's the key word here for me in this is, only acknowledge your iniquity. Why is accountability so huge? The Bible talks about confessing your sins one to another. God knows what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And there's probably suspicion by other people of what you're doing. Just either say to someone else or to God himself, like, look, I've been acting like this hasn't been happening. This is my sin. This is what I've been doing. He says, I know. You say, well, what do? You confess it. You just did that. Now forsake it and let's go forward. You say, it can't be that easy. Well, what do you want him to do? In our case, he's already died on the cross for our sins. You confess your sins. I'll read this again at the end. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So back to getting clean. So you confess. You're clean. You say, well, what if I do that and then I go back? You confess and get clean again. You say, but I could abuse that. You certainly may. But at some point, you're going to get tired of sinning. Sin is exhausting. It's a waste of time. You're burning up the only life you're ever going to have. You say, but I enjoy it. I get that. But if you ever walk with Jesus for any period of time, there's way more joy in that than enjoying sin. Yeah, this is a horrible thing to probably run this trap. But here's how simple this is. I've been married, decades. And the enemy will throw these things at you, and I don't dwell on this. But I know for a fact, today, I could walk out my front door, and I promise you, before the day was over, I could find some woman to destroy my life with. Right? This is not complicated. I've never done any drugs, but I know for a fact that I don't have to leave this building. Somebody in this room knows how to get hold of somebody near this place, and I could have about any drug I wanted and start today. It's not hard. Sin is available. You got to make a decision. Is that what you want? Do you want a life of sin? Are you going to premeditatively say, basically double barrel, F you, God, I'm going to go do what I want to do. I'm tired of this. I want to do what I want to do. Okay, go do that. It's never gone well for anyone who's made that decision. And they either die or they come home. So the enemy knows your deal. He knows what to present to you, how to present it. But there's promises in Scripture that you're never going to be tempted above what you are able. There's always a way of escape, right? It's crazy protection. Amazing protection. Go to Jeremiah 3:22. I mean, it's just over and over. Jeremiah 3:22, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. He says, look, I'll fix it. Now, you say, well, I got consequences from my sin. Okay, that's a decision you made. And sometimes, listen close, sometimes the whooping is the reminder you don't really want to go back, right? You say, well, I thought God was going to heal me of my backsliding, but now there's consequence for my backsliding. And every time you think about and are faced with that consequence, he uses that to say, you don't want to go back there, trust me. And you go, you know what? You're right, because this is how I got in this situation. Stop saying things like, God, why did you do this to me? Stop blaming God for your mess. But here's how God can use it. When you are confronted with your consequence, my favorite one of these is the rooster. Crazy thing. Peter denies Jesus three times, and he said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Boom, boom, boom. Here we go. And for the rest, pretty good, wasn't it? I could do better if you give me a minute. So for the rest of Peter's life, every day, every day, every day, rooster, 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 rooster. You think, why would God do that to Peter? That's going to keep Peter on track. Rooster crows. You go, wow, this sucks. What, do you beat me to death with this rooster thing? No. I'm reminding you, you did betray me, but I asked you if you loved me three times. You said, yes, I told you to follow me. You follow me. Just keep following me. Don't deny me. The rooster is a reminder not to deny me. You go, thank you, Lord, for the rooster. Some of you got physical scars, and you look at those scars, and you go, wow, I know how that happened. You say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not dead. Gunshot wounds, stab wounds, whatever you got. Some of you got tattoos you regret. Every once in a while, I see someone with a tattoo, but it's just a big solid black square. They didn't pay money for a big solid black square. They're covering something up that they regret putting there. So what do you do with that? You go, wow, Lord, I know what's under that big solid black square. I thank you that that is not me anymore. So when you look in the mirror, you don't go downhill. You go, wow, God, you've saved me. You've rescued me. You've healed me. And let's go forward. Let's don't go back there anymore. Lamentations 3:4. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. And I've run numbers on this before, but if you take a straight line, you got a straight line and that's where you're trying to go, and you deviate from that line 1 degree, you say, not so big a deal. Do the math. In a matter of miles, if not minutes, if you keep going 1 degree off the line, you will be so far from your target, you can't believe it. The farther you go 1 degree off the wrong way, the farther you get from the way you said you were going. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Find it, stay on that way. Okay, I'll spare you Matthew 18. Matthew 18:12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Same thing, similar in Luke 15, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. Now let me just go through this kind of quickly. In those three stories, the guy's got 100 sheep, one is lost. You leave 99 and go look for the one sheep. Did the sheep in that story leave deliberately? No. That sheep strayed. The shepherd knew that, knew the 99 would be safe, but he had to go look for a stray. That's what that sheep was, a stray. He's not trying to get away. He just wanders off, and now he's in trouble. So the shepherd goes and gets him, brings him back, rejoices that he found him. That's that story. If you jump over the coin story to the son story, the prodigal son, in that story, the father does not go looking for the son. Why does that? Because in that story, he deliberately left. He backslid. He chose. He rebelled. I want the benefits of knowing you, but I don't want any restrictions on me. Give me what's mine. Inter vivos, inter vivos, however you want to say it. Living will, got his third. The older brother got 2/3 in that culture. Give me my 1/3. I'm out of here. You say, well, doesn't the father care about the son? He will let you go run your course. But what does that story tell you? When you're done, and it says in that story, and when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And he rehearsed his story. I've sinned, not worthy to be your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And then it says, and he arose and went to his father. He went home, and then you see what happened. So it's not that the father didn't want to go looking for him and didn't care about him. It's just that when you backslide, sometimes you have to come to the end of yourself before you'll return to him. So I cannot stress this enough. If that is you, go home. It's never going to work where you are. And some of you are listening and watching wherever you are, and you're trying to figure out how to stay where you are and make it work. It's never going to work out there by yourself. Go home. You say, but I'm embarrassed. I'm not worthy. In the story, he left a son and came back a son. He did not become a son when he came home. So if you're out there, I just can't stress this enough. It's not going to get any better. God's going to allow the thing to collapse around you so that you will finally say uncle, so you can say father and go home. 2 Timothy 4:9 talks about, Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. But Demas specifically loved this present world, took off. And then maybe James 5:19, brethren, written to Christians, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So God's not against you. He's for you. He who is willing to give his own son, how do you think he's not for you? We're not against you. I'm not against you. I am for you, moving it forward. Now, here's the deal. You say, well, maybe I'm a backslider, maybe I'm a strayer. But the truth is, you can't backslide or stray unless you're in the family to begin with. Rebecca and I got invited to go speak at a church outside of Bozeman, Montana. And we went up there early, and this couple, these basically cowboys, horses. And I told him I'd love to go riding horses. And so the four of us got in the truck, four horses in the trailer, went through Ted Turner's 113,000 acre ranch to the base of Spanish Peaks, I guess it is. Unloaded the horses and did a 3.5 mile ride up to Pioneer Falls. Has anyone ever been to Pioneer Falls? Know what I'm talking about? It's a beautiful waterfall. So we passed a few hikers, switched back on these horses, just climbing this mountain. So we get to the top, to the falls, and there's this mountain of a man, 30-something years old, big beard, revolver right here, tats, and I'm like, really? There is no one. You climb that high, you have to be in shape for one thing, and he is the only person up there and the four of us. So you know what happened. So I'm standing there, his name is Matt. We introduced ourselves, and I said, Matt, I gotta tell you, dude, the statistical probability of the four of us top of the falls together is not high. I said, I don't end up anywhere by chance. And I say, you are the reason I'm here. And I started with, is there anything going on with you and your family that if someone was willing to pray for you, you'd let them? And he stood there a minute and he said, yeah, my nephews, they've been trying to have a baby and they finally got pregnant and I just would like it to go well. So I huddled everybody up and we prayed for Matt in that situation. Well, he had sunglasses on. When he got done praying, he pulled them off and he looked at me and he said, he's crying. He said, no one has ever prayed for me in my whole life. It turns out he had been a part of a tech company and all these rich people go to Montana and taking over kind of the place and they were paying him not to work, a non-compete. And he had been hiking for weeks trying to figure out what his purpose was. So I started sharing the gospel with Matt, explained to him it was a gift. And I said, Matt, would you like to do this? And he said, yeah. So the two of us, everybody else was over eating lunch, the two of us stood there and he prayed out loud, God, I know I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead. And I accept that gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of my sins. Amen. So crazy powerful. So I said, Matt, this whole day, this everything about this, I said, God has been after you. I said, who do you think's been praying for you about this? He said, probably my wife. I said, will you do me a favor and tell her today? So we changed numbers. He texted me back. I said, how was your wife? Thrilled. I noticed when I met him, he had a towel, kind of a hiking towel, something in his back pocket. So he left. We're riding back down this steep back, switchback down the mountain, and on the path is his towel. And if I had noticed it, I wouldn't have known it was his. And I texted him later, and I said, I've got your towel. And he said, I knew you'd find my towel. So you say, well, what's going to happen to Matt? I'm going to spend eternity with Matt. Now, is he going to make it? I'm going to try to help him make it. Is he going to backslide? Maybe. Does he have capacity for that? Yes. Could he stray? Yes. But with some help, he's got a chance. It's not about making it to heaven or not. If you're a Christian, you're going to make heaven. The question is, how straight a path are you going to make it to heaven? You've gotten through the straight gate. Can you stay on the narrow way and just let God use you? Okay.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So if you've deliberately backslidden, go home. And if you've strayed, get some people to help you get back on the path. And if you know people in either category, as it is said, gently, with humility, go alongside those people and say, look, I'm not claiming to have it all together, but I love you and it matters to me what happens to you. This is not working and I know it's not working. I see that. And from personal experience, I know it's never going to work. Would you consider making a change? And you pray for them and you weep with them and whatever you got to do. Because someday it might be you. You say, well, that's not going to happen. Peter didn't think it was going to happen to him either, I promise you. Because he told Jesus, that will never happen. I will never deny you.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.